Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel lesson just read for this day is immediately preceded by Peter's confession, where Peter says of Jesus, "You are the Christ." And now, having clarified who he is through Peter, Jesus then tells the disciples what he must now do because he is that Christ. Now, to Peter, Jesus' identity and the mission that Jesus outlines for himself before Peter must seem to have been at cross purposes with each other. In Peter's way of thinking, for one to be the Christ, and now for this Christ to have to suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again, these thoughts were not complementary to Peter, but they seemed to be contradictory thoughts. For one to be the Christ means to be victorious, and for one to have to suffer and die at the hands of one's opponents, that is defeat. And for Peter, these two concepts could not be embodied in one man. They were at cross purposes. But Jesus clearly reveals that these seemingly two contradictory facts, that he is the Christ, and that as the Christ, he must suffer, be rejected, be killed, and rise, these two seemingly contradictory facts are not indeed only complementary, but they are also indeed necessary. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the anointed one of God. And he who is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, he who is worthy of the greatest honor and glory, he who has all power and might, he must die. And what Peter did not understand was that the death that Jesus was to die was not for Jesus' sake. Jesus was to die for Peter. He was to die for all of those disciples who were gathered round him. He was to die for the widows and the fatherless. He was to die for all of those who were like sheep without a shepherd. He was to die for rich and poor, for old and young, for slave and free, for Jew and Gentile. He was to die for all of lost mankind. And that means that Jesus was to die for every person who ever walked upon the face of this planet, save one, himself. His title and his role seemed on the surface to be at cross purposes with each other, but they were not. And then Jesus calls the crowd around him, and with his disciples, he proceeds to teach the disciples and the crowd that those following Jesus, those individuals, one was to deny oneself. Now, to deny oneself to the world, this seems to be at cross purposes with who one is. Because the world tells me that I am to affirm myself. The world tells me that I am to find myself. The world tells me that I will find meaning to life and that I will find my purpose for living within myself. Are these two things at cross purposes? Is it not true that in denying oneself, one indeed finds oneself in Christ? To deny oneself means to completely deny, to completely disown that old Adam, our old sinful nature. And this nature, this sinful self, centers on the things of this world, and it has no use for the things of God. The old sinful nature is indeed at cross purposes with God. And this self is cast out through the power of God's Holy Spirit, and Christ dwells within us. He enters our lives, and we are renewed. We are transformed. We no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Christ. And when we live for Christ, we are indeed at cross purposes with the world in which we live. To live at cross purposes with the world for the sake of Jesus is to, as our gospel lesson said, shared with us today, is to bear the cross. And taking up the cross is living the life of the Christian. Taking up the cross is suffering because you live according to a higher standard, a more noble standard. You live according to God's standard. Taking up the cross is living at cross purposes with the world. I know that many of you who are seated here this morning aspire to be pastors in the church. I must tell you, there is no higher office, and there is nothing more noble to which one can dedicate one's life than to be a pastor, an under-shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ. I graduated from this seminary in 1978, and I can tell you that in my years of ministry, there has been many opportunities for great joy and for great satisfaction in being a pastor. Yes, there have also been many challenges as well, but pervasive and overriding all the challenges that have ever been before me is the joy that comes in knowing that I serve Christ and His church. And so shall you. And that will place you at cross purposes with the postmodern culture in which most of us live. The cross is the Christian's life. There is no symbol that is more readily recognized in the world than is the cross. It represents God's love for us, and it reminds us of our response to God's love. And so you and I take up that cross without shame. We are not ashamed of Christ and His words in this adulterous and sinful generation. We take up our cross because Christ took up His cross and died for us. And He won for us our salvation. And we have been justified by His blood. We have been reconciled to God through the cross of Christ. And His resurrection victory is our resurrection victory. That cross of Christ puts us at cross purposes with the world. And being at cross purposes with the world means that we, especially as pastors of the church, are always to remember the purpose of the cross. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.